The word wilderness conjures up visions of a wild and dangerous place. I think of a place of brambles and briars, and a place where it might be hard to survive. I think of a place like Death Valley. A wilderness like Death Valley conjures up images of pioneers struggling in the heat, dying of thirst. The name Death Valley sounds like a place where there's nothing but heat and sand and dry bones from animals that foolishly went to a place where they could not survive. The word wilderness, particularly in this passage, makes me think of such places. So why would Jesus go to the wilderness to pray? This is not the first or only time in the Bible that the wilderness is mentioned. There are many. The angel of the Lord spoke to Hagar, Sarah's handmaid and the mother of Ishmael, by a spring in the wilderness. Moses was pasturing a flock on the west side of the wilderness when God spoke to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. The children of Israel were in the wilderness of Sinai when God delivered to Moses the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. The book of Numbers begins with these words: "The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai." According to a psalmist, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. We have familiar words of Isaiah: "A voice is calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." We hear that same description applied to John the Baptist, describing how John is delivering the word of the Lord in the wilderness. I have to confess, I'm a little bit of a word nerd, and the meanings and derivations of words are very interesting to me. Allow me a brief example. The word in Hebrew for wilderness is midbar. The Hebrew letters, mem, dalet, bet, resh. The word in Hebrew for word is divar. The Hebrew letters, dalet, vet, resh. In other words, in Hebrew, the word of the Lord, divar, is literally in the wilderness, midbar. From what I know about Hebrew wordplay, I do not believe this is a coincidence. There are many examples in the Bible of God's word coming to persons in the wilderness. But I want to emphasize one particular example: when God speaks to Elijah. Now, I've mentioned this before, but it fits. Elijah has just killed the prophets of Baal, and Queen Jezebel is very angry and wants to kill Elijah. Elijah goes a day's journey into the wilderness. While there, Elijah is ministered to by an angel of the Lord. And then Elijah travels 40 days and 40 nights to a mountain called Horeb, which happens to be another name for Sinai, Mount Sinai. And behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Please note, we're at the same mountain in the same wilderness where God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, and where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. The story continues. Elijah meets God at Horeb. He, the angel, said, Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. The point being, God spoke to Elijah in the silence. Now, back in November, I mentioned this passage in connection with Isaiah's description of God as a potter when he prays for God to come and rattle the mountains. In today's passage, we see Jesus seeking communion with God the Father in silence. So, what do we in 21st century Lufkin have in common with these passages? After all, we're in the deep piney woods of deep East Texas, and God is speaking to his people in the wilderness. As I've emphasized before, with Elijah particularly, we see that God's first language is silence. God does not normally speak to us in a way that we're blown away by a great wind. God does not normally speak to us in such a way that we're hit in the head with falling rocks. God does not normally open up the earth and cause us to fall into the truth. God has us be quiet and listen. And if you recall last week, I mentioned that Jesus teaches not only with words, but with actions, particularly in Mark, the action gospel. Jesus models for us what it means to commune with God away from the pressing crowds and the well-meaning disciples. When my kids were little, I wanted them to experience the joy of seeing the country that I had had when I was an Air Force brat. When I was a kid, we traveled across the country as a family, going places like Yosemite, Muir Woods, Yellowstone National Park. But because my kids were growing up in one place and we were not moving around, I wanted them to see national parks. Therefore, we made long trips visiting as many national parks as we could. On one such trip, on our way to California, we went to Death Valley. I was very surprised. Death Valley was beautiful. It was quiet. It had its own ecosystem with unique examples of God's good creation. There was even a simple resort there that was designed particularly for those who are looking for quiet, for peace, and for beauty. Sometimes we need a place or a time or both to get away from all those things that distract us from God's still small voice. Such a place might be a wilderness, or it might be a beautiful place in the piney woods like Camp Gilmont. That place might be any place away from civilization, with only the beauty of God's creation. In such a place, the gentle breeze of the Spirit allows us to slow down and hear what God wants us to hear. Such a time might be a season of 40 days called Lent, which begins with Ash Wednesday coming up on February 14th. Those 40 days might be dedicated to putting aside things which distract us from hearing God. Such a time might be 40 minutes a day The Christian discipline of centering prayer involves being quiet for 20 minutes, two times per day, to release the thoughts and cares of the world and open oneself to God's transformational silence. Or such a time might involve 40 minutes of daily devotion. We heard in our scripture today that Jesus went to a deserted place, the wilderness, for prayer. Where is your wilderness? Where is your deserted place? Where can you go to be alone and quiet and with God? The word fast is not used much anymore, but it can mean putting away a distraction in favor of a practice called a discipline. Rather than some ancient procedure to punish the physical body, the idea of fasting is to give up something to make room for something else. For example, if someone were to give up watching 30 minutes of television as a fast, the fast becomes much more meaningful if those 30 minutes are replaced by 30 minutes of prayer or scripture reading or journaling or some other positive spiritual practice. In this way, something that might be considered a negative becomes a positive. Something that sounds scary, like the wilderness, becomes a place to meet with God. I remember as a kid hearing a story about a clever rabbit. That rabbit was captured one day by his enemy who wanted to punish him. As the enemy was considering all the things he could do to the rabbit would say, "Yes, do that to me, but just don't throw me into that briar patch." The enemy, thinking that the briar patch was a wilderness, a dangerous place the rabbit did not want to go, he eventually decided to throw the rabbit into the briar patch. As soon as he did, the rabbit jumped up and said, "Thank you, I was born in this briar patch." Likewise, we see a quiet wilderness and our first thought is, that's no place we want to go. But today's lesson suggests that the silent wilderness is a place where God speaks to us. It's a refuge like it was for Br'er Rabbit. When the things of the world are no longer distracting us, God speaks. When we turn from the distractions of the world and enter into the wilderness, we open ourselves to the still small voice of God. If entering the wilderness means hearing God speak, I say, throw me into that briar patch. How about you? Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, we come to the table today.